Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Orpheum Theater. Let me just say, if you are not listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on the weekends here on WKNO, you're missing one of the great comedy public radio shows. Peter Sagal is the host, and I've got him on the phone with me now. And Peter, you're coming here to Memphis on December 19th and doing your show at the Orpheum. And I wonder what that is going to be like as a live stage show, as opposed to what we hear every week on the radio. What's this going to be like?
Well, imagine, if you will, say one of the great Cirque du Soleil shows. If your listeners have seen, say, in Las Vegas, so the level of spectacle combined with the raw sexuality of, say, seeing Led Zeppelin live in their heyday, it will be nothing like that at all. What it will be is us doing our radio show live and in person on stage at the Orpheum, much as we do it every week here in Chicago and around the country in places, Carnegie Hall and Tanglewood and the San Francisco War Memorial Opera House and all kinds of cool places like that. And one of these days, we really need to come up with some visual effects, or at least, you know, wires to fly Carl around. But most people seem happy with visiting with us and seeing us do what we do in front of them live. The great pleasure, I'm told, is that our radio show, which I agree with you, people are fools if they don't listen, fools, I tell you, is edited.
Right.
Down from sometimes as much as 2 hours of what we record. And so most of the people who come to our show, at least all of them, whoever talked to me about it, say they just love the chance to hear the whole thing. Because we do a lot of stuff, and a lot of it is too weird, obscene, or bizarre to ever make the air. So it's sort of Wait, Wait, Uncorseted, if you will. Wait, Wait, After Dark. I don't want to imply that everything we do is pornographic, but it's somewhat strange and crazy and live and improvisational, and people seem to like it. Plus, we do have an enormous pool.
Yeah, oh, well, that always helps. The show is divided into several different segments, all of them more or less having to do with some facet of the news. What are some of the segments that you do?
Well, our show, most of what we do is we quiz our panel, who in Memphis will be our old friends Tom Baudet, Roy Blunt Jr., who is known as Roy National Treasure Blunt Jr., and Roxanne Roberts. And we quiz them about the week's news. We quiz people who call in. We have, of course, Who's Carl This Time? Well, Carl Castle recreates a quotation from the week's news. You have to guess who said it or what they were talking about. We have a listener limerick challenge. We have the Bluff the Listener, where we give you three news stories, all bizarre, only one of which is true. You have to guess it. But most of what we do is really just an excuse, I have to say. This is a secret. Nobody really cares about the quiz. What we care about is the chance to make cynical fun of people who are much more important than we are.
You do, as you mentioned, those are some wonderful people that are coming with you here to Memphis. But you have a whole stable of marvelous panelists. How'd you get all these people to sign on for this?
Well, you just need to go on Google enough until you can find some compromising information about them, and then send them the results and say, now, how would you like us not to tweet this? No, we've collected an amazingly great crew of panelists. We're up to around, I haven't counted, but 20. And it's really fun because it's like having this great group of friends, all of whom come by or in some, you know, some portion of them come by every week to have a great conversation about the week's news. And these are all pretty tremendous people. I mean, like the three guys, or I should say guys and gal, who you're going to see are terrific. Roxanne is, of course, a long-term Washington, D.C. gossip columnist, which means she knows what's important in Washington, D.C. She's sort of our Arlene Francis, if people remember the old To Tell the Truth.
Sure.
She's our classy dame. Then we have Roy Blunt Jr., who, like I said, is a national treasure, one of the funniest writers in America, and somebody who's been all over and written about everything and knows stories about everything. And Tom Baudet, known mostly for his folksy TV radio commercials, mostly for Motel 6, is actually a hilarious and funny writer in his own way and is great on our show. And people tend to love him. But we also have all these other people, stand-up comics like Paula Poundstone, Alonzo Bowden, Jesse Klein, writers like Charlie Pierce, Kerry O'Connor. We've got a lot of great people. I'm always excited to see everybody whenever we do our show.
The show really began back in early 1998, and you originally were tapped to be a panelist yourself. And then
this is true. This is lost in the history. I'm amazed you found that out. But yes, I started on the show as a panelist and got a battlefield promotion.
Since you were there really essentially from the beginning, how did this come about? How did this group of people get together and decide to do this show?
Well, I mean, it basically happened. I mean, I've been always saying for years that I need a better origin story, something involving a dream and a kid walking mm-hmm. the streets, until they gave me a chance. It started as a late night after hours show in Brooklyn, and only people who knew were invited. And no, none of that is true. It was invented by NPR in the mid 90s. Because they wanted to do something that would appeal to news listeners, you know, the people who tune in for Morning Edition and, you know, your afternoon news show and then All Things Considered. And but wasn't news, and a news quiz seemed obvious. So they asked Doug Berman, finally, after trying it many different ways, to come in and create something. Doug Berman, of course, is famous mostly for being Dark No Slave to Fashion Berman, who is the producer of Car Talk.
Right.
And he came up with this idea for a quiz, and like I said, hired, among many other people, me to be one of the panelists. And at that time, the show was being done via ISDN lines to various studios. It wasn't in front of a live audience. So the way it worked was, you know, I did the show from my little place in New York, and then they decided to make a change, and they made me the host, and I moved out to Chicago to take over. And then we made more changes. We started doing the show in front of a live audience, first as special events. In fact, one of our very earliest live presentations of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me was an off-air thing we did for the public radio community to try to market the show at the Peabody Hotel in Memphis.
Huh.
And then we had a reception on the roof next to the Ducks. So Memphis plays an important role in Wait, Wait's early history. But we started doing it in front of a live audience, and then we started doing it in front of a live audience every week, and we've been touring the country, and now what can I say? We bestride the public radio world like a colossus. As you say, one of the funniest shows on public radio, which is perhaps the lowest bar ever invented, but we're happy to clear it.
I think one of the great coups of this show was to get Carl Castle.
Oh, absolutely. Carl is, you know, it's funny, the show has changed a lot, as I just mentioned, you know, hosts and formats and stuff, but Carl has been a constant, and without question, he has been the reason for the success of the show. Without Carl, there'd be nothing. In the early days, when we were A, not on very many stations, B, kind of new, and C, not very good, it really was as much about Carl's presence giving us credibility as mm-hmm. anything else, you know. It was like, well, if Carl Castle's on the show, it can't suck entirely. And so we, you know, were able to sort of scratch along until such time as we were able to, you know, actually become decent enough to listen to for other reasons. So, yeah, Carl is pretty central to our success.
I tell people that, you know, I've been in public radio a long time and used to go to the, back when NPR had public radio conferences in D.C.
Yeah.
And saw Carl speak a couple of times. And Carl is a man of immense gravitas.
Oh, yes.
So to hear him do the hysterical things that he does on this show, I think it will only be better when we can actually see him doing these things on stage.
Sure. It is amazing. And that's really, I mean, we've dined out on that for so long. The fact that most people who have great memories of Carl for, I think, 30 years, waking sure. him up with his hourly newscasts on Morning Edition. And then to see him come out and do, you know, everything from Britney Spears impersonations to a very credible, and I want to give him credit here, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton impersonations. It's really kind of great. And you're like, what is he doing? And I'll tell you what he's doing. He's having the time of his life is what he's doing. Because it turns out that all those years he was, you know, doing those serious news stories, it turns out he was really just all he really wanted to do was to, you know, do comedy. And has been having a fabulous time ever since we started doing it.
That's great. It's going to be so much fun. Peter Sagal
yeah,
is
really is. I'm really looking forward to it. And this is exciting. Memphis is one of my favorite cities because I like to eat.
Sure.
And we are really looking forward to going down there and doing the show for the people in Memphis, and also, dare I say, eating, specifically barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically not dry-rubbed barbecue. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. My apologies to the rendezvous, but I prefer the wet sauce.
Sure.
So we're going to go. I had the best barbecue I've ever had, ever, at a place in a little strip mall east of downtown, and it was so many years ago that I can't remember what it was called. It was a rather sketchy neighborhood, I remember.
Hmm.
And it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I've gone back many times and haven't been able to find it, but I found some great places to eat. So I'm looking forward to that. Oh, we're all going to be sort of in a barbecue haze when people see us.
Yeah, it is good for that. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. I know we're very much looking forward to it. And Peter, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
My pleasure. And we'll look forward to seeing all you guys in Memphis next month.
Peter Sagal is the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, coming live to the Orpheum Theater on December 19th. For tickets and more information, go to our website, wknofm.org. Checking on the arts is made possible by the Orpheum Theater, presenting Johnny Mathis in concert, Saturday, December 21st at 8 p.m. Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Johnny Mathis brings a Yuletide cheer with an evening of holiday hits, his most famous tunes, and romantic ballads. For information, 525-3000 or orpheum-memphis.com.